Thank you, Joe. So I haven't really got any apology for choosing this psalm. It's not an obvious psalm to choose for Advent. It's not one of the main readings that when you look at your Advent readings, you come across this. But I did find it amongst all of the Advent readings, and it just struck a chord with me, difficult though it was to understand where it would go and how it would lead. But it struck a chord with me because Advent, the third Sunday of Advent, is about joy. And sometimes you concentrate on the shepherds and the awe and the joy that they had when they had the message from the angels to go to Bethlehem to see the baby that was born. Advent overall, I think, is a time, isn't it, for reflection. It's a reflection on the meaning of Christmas, not just for us, but for the world in which we live and how that affects all those around us. Advent is a time of preparation for when we prepare to celebrate the birth of Christ, but also a time when we celebrate and look forward to when Christ returns. And some people would say that Advent is the beginning of the church life, when Christ came and was born. But we're not going to start in any of those points, because we're actually going to start with the sin of David and Bathsheba. And that's the psalm that Angela read for us, sums up David's when he realised the sin that he had done, and how he felt, and how that sin had separated him from God. So I'm sure you know the story well, only too well, but if 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, we're told of that story. In verse 2 it says, "One evening David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful." And then it went downhill from there, didn't it, really? And strangely enough, David wasn't aware of his sin, because not only did he commit sin with Bathsheba, he went on to be deceitful and commit murder to her husband. But then David still doesn't seem to be aware of the sin until Nathan confronted him in chapter 12. And told him the story about a traveller who came, and the rich man wanted to sacrifice a lamb in honour of the traveller and chose the poor shepherd who only had one lamb to be used. And David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord of God of Israel said. I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And all of this had been too little. I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes?" So we look at Psalm 51 and we see there is David's confession. The confession of a man that is so distraught because he realizes that in his sin, he has destroyed the relationship that he had with God. He has lost the joy of the salvation of our Lord. And that's the verses that struck me in this chapter, was, "Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain you." Isn't that what Christmas is all about? That we don't just rejoice in the lovely story, but we rejoice in the joy of our salvation, that God loves us and spoke his word and gave his son through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we may know Christ in our lives and be filled with his joy. But in this psalm, David begins to say that I know my transgressions and my sins are always before me. I've always been a sinner. From birth, I was a sinner. Cleanse me with your hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. See, as Christians, we are shaped or being shaped into the image of God, aren't we? So we take on his character, a character of love and passion and a vision for those who don't know our Lord. And you see, the thing that struck me when I read those two chapters in Samuel was that actually God said to Samuel, I've given you everything that you have, and I would have given you more because I have more to give. And we forget just the fact that God has so much to give us as individuals and as a church, as a fellowship of believers. God has given us so much, but he would give us more if we seek to walk closer with him and to understand his will and to celebrate in his salvation. And that's what God said to David. And I find it really hard when I think about all that David had and just that woman on the rooftop threw all that away. It was such a simple, easy thing to do. He looked, he desired, and he sinned. And one sin led to another sin. And he had no remorse. And in this psalm, he has remorse because Nathan spoke to him. And he says, I know my transgressions and my sin. Create in me a pure heart, O God. And I think when we think of our walk with God, is that our real desire? That we want God to create a God-like heart in all that we do and all that we think? Create in me a pure heart. And how you do that, he tells us in verse 7, is cleanse me with hyssop. Hyssop was a plant that absorbed and transferred. So they would use it when they were cleaning, and they would dip it in substances or sprinkle it with things, and it would cling to the hyssop, and then they would wipe the hyssop down on anything that needed to be cleaned. And it would go with its leaves that were small. Those small leaves would go into everything and clean it and get into those small crevices that we can't always see or know. Cleanse me with hyssop so that I may have a pure heart. That was David's cry to God. Is it our cry? That God would wipe away all that we have done and give us a pure heart. He says in those verses as well, give me a steadfast, willing spirit. Now, a lot of people think I'm a good Christian. They call me, oh, you're a good Christian, but I'm not as good as people think. When it comes to it, I'm most probably the same as everybody else. But David knew that the only way to know the complete joy of God's salvation was to be steadfast and willing. And I'm not always steadfast and I'm not always willing. When things become difficult, life becomes hard, church becomes hard. I'm not always steadfast and I'm not always willing. And I think that's true of each one of us here and for those that are part of this church but aren't able to come today. that we need to have that willing spirit. Above all else, we need to have a willing spirit so that we can see and rejoice in the joy of our salvation. In our willing spirit, that we can inspire, that we can encourage, that we can strengthen, even when it seems so hopeless and helpless. And then you see David says, do not cast me from your presence. And it's lovely, isn't it, when we can come together and we can worship and we have excellent people to lead us in worship. And we can sense God's presence when we're here together. And we know that God is with us in as we sing and as we pray. We sense the fellowship and the Spirit of God moving amongst us. But we're in the quietness of our homes, and when we're around doing our work, we don't always sense that same presence of God because we don't always desire it. We don't always desire that the presence of God is in and through every single thing that we do. And yet David says here, the only way I can know the joy of your salvation is if I know that your presence, and I want your presence with me every minute of my life. Because otherwise, I am of no worth. Otherwise, I don't know what you want to give me and what you can give me. Because my eyes are taken off God and are looking at the world. And then lastly, he says, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. And we know, don't we, that God's Spirit is always with us. And David's fear was that he would not know God's leading and God's presence with him. And he wouldn't know that because he needed to confess of the things that he had done wrong. He needed to come to God and say, I am a sinner. Now, you can argue that David's sin was on a scale of 10 out of 10. But any sin can separate us from the joy of our salvation if we do not confess, if we do not ask for God to cleanse us and heal us and fill us with his Spirit so that we can move forward as we seek to serve him and live for him. Paul, strangely enough, speaks very similar words to David in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And this is what he says to the church in Ephesians, Ephesus. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven or on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you may be rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. The joy at Christmas that we celebrate when we light the third candle is not based on wealth or power or status or even health. We don't need any of those things to experience the joy of our salvation. But what we do need is to come to God in humility, seeking his face, asking for his presence to fill us with his spirit, so that all that we may do and go may be done in his name. Strangely enough, I was looking at my reading this morning before I came, and it said these words. It was looking at a different psalm, not this one, but it was a psalm. And it said these words, and I just copied them in because it seemed to fit, I thought, with what I was saying. And this is what it said in my reading this morning. Many today are stateless. The refuge highway is huge. Even the most developed of nations, the burden of debt is crushing. Climate change and its consequences threaten to destabilize the natural order as we know it. As the candle glows, so too may our lives glow in the joy of our salvation. So that when we read statements like that, and when we hear statements like that on the news or in our newspapers or radio or amongst our conversations, we may know that the joy of our salvation dwells in our hearts and in our lives, and that there is nothing too big or too great or too awesome that our God cannot do. For there is nothing that separates him from us. But we sometimes separate ourselves from God. And so as we seek to prepare on this third Sunday for Advent, may in all that you do, above all that you do, and through all that you do, strive to live as his children first, calling, as David did in that psalm, on God's mercy and grace, so that we, as a body and as individuals, may know the joy of our salvation this Christmas time. Amen. So Joey's going to lead us now in our next song. Thank you.
Maybe as Derek plays this next song, we can reflect on what we've heard and just take time aside to bow our hearts and our heads in prayer before God. So shall we pray? Lord God, we have heard your word this morning. Your Holy Spirit has been stirring in our hearts. Lord, we do things that we shouldn't do. We think things that we shouldn't. And maybe there are things that we should do and we haven't done them. So now, in this time, we confess these before you. So we say with the words of David, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew your spirit within me. Lord God, we are sorry for the things that we have done. And we thank you for your love that is so great, so wonderful, unending, unconditional. We thank you that your love covers our sin, washes our sin away. And with your renewing spirit, we are born again. Make us steadfast, Lord. Make us willing to do your will this day and every day. Amen.